two. And welcome to the Sportscast, May 17th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net with all the news and updates on sports. The Golden State Warriors, a Warriors without a Kevin Durant, is up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals against the Portland Trail Blazers. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about this is Kalu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, Kalu, obviously the Western Conference Finals, probably the most predictable from the two conference finals. Golden State were down last night, maybe 10 points, maybe 20 at one point, and they came back and won it. Is Portland in trouble?
I think Portland is done because if you look at last night, they made 18 threes. And for Portland to still lose that game in which they got very valuable production in the fourth quarter, Miles Leonard, T.J. McCollum missed three good looks at the end of the game. Damian Lillard struggled, obviously not having Kevin Durant out there and also the production of Andre Iguodala's defense at the end of the game, great defense. I think Portland is done in this series. I think they can probably, in game three, keep it close, maybe win a game or keep it close. But I think Portland's done.
Portland, Lillard had 23 points. C.J. McCollum had 22. Seth Curry had 16, Rodney Hood had 12, and Maurice Harkless had 12. Do you think any of these role players, besides Lillard and McCollum, have to step it up a little bit more?
I think, as I said before, I think Golden State's going to win the series in four or five games. But I think Portland, I know they want to have Amino and Harkless in the lineup, but I think Portland maybe should take out Amino in the lineup. I know he provides defense. But I think Portland should insert Ronnie in the lineup just to give a little change. I mean, you're going back home, back to your home. I think they should just mix it up, put Ronnie Hood back in the lineup, the extra ball hand in the lineup. Maybe they could take some pressure off Dame Miller, T.J. McCollum, give him a third score, and hopefully they can find a spark with that. Because if you look at last night, Ronnie Hood gave you 12 points in 21 minutes. So I think that you can, you know, try to mix things up because you're not going to win the series. So you might as well just try to mix it up and get a little more production in your starting lineup.
The Warriors.
Sacrifice a little bit of defense.
Yeah, Warriors, Steph Curry had 37 points. Klay Thompson had 24. Looney had 14. Draymond Green had 16. And Jordan Bell had 11 points. How is this team coping without Durant?
I think Steph Curry is going back to 2015 Steph Curry. Klay Thompson is stepping up with the second unit. Andre Iguodala is providing a very good defense on the University of McCollum. They're getting great minutes off the bench from Looney. Jeremiah Green is being that Swiss Army knife. We know he is. And I think that the coaching, along with the championship pedigree, is really helping Golden State. And also experience is also huge in the playoffs because they've been there and done it before.
There are talks that Durant may not appear in this series unless there are, you know, they were down or behind in the series. Do you believe in those rumors?
I think that Kevin Durant, considering that they're up 2-0, I don't think that they should rush him back because we all first thought it was an Achilles, even though we're not doctors, we thought it was an Achilles. And it being diagnosed as a calf sprain, I don't think that they should push him back if they don't have to. You know, it's always better to have extra time, you know, to heal, get ready for the finals, whether you're facing Milwaukee or you're facing Toronto. I think it's always better to get extra time, especially when you're up 2-0. It looks like you have a series in the bag. They have a series in the bag. As long as they take their advantage of Portland, I think it would be best for them to, you know, get an extra time, get an extra week or two.
Now, you personally, do you like this Warriors team without Durant?
I think they're different. A lot of people are saying if they're better. I don't think they're better without Kevin Durant. I think with Kevin Durant, they obviously play a little more isolation ball. But I think that without Kevin Durant, they have a lot more ball movement. You see Draymond Green, a lot more Steve Kerr calling plays. And they're a lot more, you know, scarier.
Yeah, I think there's more. Yeah, go ahead.
They're a lot more scary. And also, sometimes you don't know who's coming. When it's Kevin Durant there, it's normally Kevin Durant, then Steph, then Clay. But without Kevin Durant, you see Steph, then Clay, then Draymond. They even get production out from Looney, Livingston, and the others step up more because they're not so dependent on Kevin Durant. They don't have that person they can just throw the ball to, and he's going to go get you a bucket at 7 feet tall.
Yeah, which is my thing. I think with Durant, your focus on Durant. Give the ball to him. He'll finish it off. But when without him, you see more of a team chemistry. Don't you think?
True. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so I see, like a rotation. Hey, Curry is the first option, second option, Klay Thompson, and then, of course, Draymond Green. And then you saw Jordan Bell had 11 points. I mean, that's something that he's contributing to the team as well.
True. And I also like to expand on that. I think Kevin Looney, 14 points, 6-6 field goal in the third quarter when Portland was up. Portland was handling it in the first half, and I think in the second half, you can see Kevin Looney's defensive intensity and their pick and roll really start to help his team. I think he provided him a spark off the bench. He's a plus 8. This is not always an indicator of how well you play, but I think in this case, it's a very good indicator of Golden State's bench and how well they've been playing of late.
So how do you see this game, this series going? Do you think Golden State might win in 4 or 5, or what do you think so far?
I think because of Portland's home crowd, I think they'll be in the game, and I think Golden State, with the championship pedigree, will pull it away in the fourth quarter with like 3 minutes left. I can see Steph Curry or Clay hitting one of those huge threes or Iguodala getting a crucial steal, and I can see them putting it away. But I think Portland's going to be in it most of the game because home crowd. I think Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum is going to play. I think Damian Lillard is going to play better. CJ McCollum is going to make those shots. I think Harker is going to make a couple of shots because role players play better at home. So I could see it being close, but I think Golden State pulls it out. And then in game 4, I think Golden State's going to pull it out also because I don't think that they're going to mess around with another game. Knowing that they're better than this team, I don't think that they mess around.
So Golden State in
4.
4 games. Interesting. I say 4 games. That's the conservative side. I'll say 5. Typically a home team usually could win 1, but it could be 4. If we see a sweep, Kalu, I mean, I'm telling you, this Golden State is definitely looking pretty.
And here's why I also say sweep, because you're not going to get better than 18 threes, I say, from Portland. I don't think that you're going to see that again from Portland. That's why I want to say 5 games, like you said, the conservative. But if you watch the first half, they were dominant in the first half. They had 65 points in the first half. I don't think that you're necessarily going to see a Portland team play better than 65 points in the half, 18 threes. I don't think that's a replica for continue. Mo Harkless in the first quarter and off the main playing well in the first quarter. I think Dame and CJ is always going to play well. And you're usually going to get 12 to 15 from Ronnie Hood. And you can get some solid numbers from Curry. But I don't really see Portland. I don't really see anything they can really hang their hat on as, their edge in the series. That's what I think it's going to end in 4.
And we should see more from Enes Kanter. He only had 4 points last night.
Yeah, I think Enes Kanter, I think obviously about the fasting situation, I think that's really affecting Enes Kanter. He's caught between his religion and his work life. And I think that's obviously having an effect on him. The fact that he can't eat to sunrise, I think that's really having an effect on his performance.
Yeah, I agree. Ramadan is typically where you fast during the day, and then you eat up at, I think, at sundown. So, yeah, it does have an effect. I heard he called Hakeem Olajuwon to figure out how to do it, and I don't know how what Hakeem said to him, but Hakeem did win 2 championships. So,
yeah.
That was way after your time, by the way. I mean, way before your time.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go to the Eastern Conference Finals. We have the Toronto Raptors versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Toronto had a good handle with Giannis, but they couldn't handle him the whole game, and Giannis came back and won it. Of course, Milwaukee did shut down Kawhi. How do you see this series panning out so far?
think obviously this is one of my most compelling series. I've been very happy in this series. I love the Giannis versus Kawhi matchup in this series. I think this series is going to go at least, unlike the, you know, Western Conference, I think this series is going to go 6-7 games. It's going to be back and forth. It's going to be compelling. I think that the key for Toronto is keeping Milwaukee off the out of transition. I also think Milwaukee for Toronto, I think they really let one get away from him in the first game because Kyle Lowry had 30 points. And typically Kyle Lowry, you know, struggles in the plus, much is made about him struggling in the plus. I actually thought he played really, really well in game one. I think for me, I'm looking at Danny Green. In game one, he only gave you 6 points, 1 of 4 from three. I think for Toronto to steal one tonight, they need Danny Green to hit them a couple of them threes. I think I need 12 points from Danny Green. I need a more efficient Kawhi. I know he was, you know, I know Kawhi was facing enormous pressure. Milwaukee has tremendous left with Brogdon, Giannis, Middleton, even Brook Lopez blocking some shots. But I need more from him. I need a better performance from Siakam. And Ben Fleet has got to give you more than 2 points off the bench. I think Toronto needs to give more than 12 points off the bench. And they need to be around that 25 number. And that should be able to you know, at least be in the game.
Yeah, for the Raptors, Kawhi Leonard had 31 points that night. Kyle Lowry had 30. And then you go Pascal Siakam with 15. And you were mentioning Danny Green only had 6 points. I think Danny Green does need to step it up a little bit.
For sure.
The Bucks, Giannis had 24 points. Brook Lopez had 29 and more points than Giannis. Malcolm Brogdon had 15. Chris Middleton had 11. And Nikola Mirotic had 13. Do you think Milwaukee has a deeper squad than Toronto?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee is deeper. And obviously it showed with Chris Middleton only having 11 points on 4-12 field for them to still be able to win. And Milwaukee shoots 44 threes, and they only make 11, and they shoot 25% from three, and they still win that game. And I don't think Giannis had all of a great game. And after the fourth quarter, I don't think Milwaukee played that well. They scored 32 points in the fourth quarter. They didn't play that well. And for them to still win, they shot less than 40%. And for them to still win, it shows Milwaukee's deeper. I also feel like one of the underrated players in Milwaukee is Malcolm Brogdon. 15 points, 5 of 9 field goals, 3 of 6 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, plus 18 in 27 minutes. I feel like Malcolm Brogdon was a huge, you know, player for them getting them back last year, closer to the end of last year. So Malcolm Brogdon is very underrated, but he's a contributor for Milwaukee.
He's stepping it up. Obviously, you know, you say the series might go to 6-7. I don't know. I would like to see game two, see how it goes. If Milwaukee wins again, this could be an indicator they may be going to the finals.
Yeah, I think I picked Milwaukee to win this series, but here's why I think it's going to go 6-7. I think Toronto was close in this game for most of this game, and I also feel like even though it might be like the first two games of Rockets and Warriors where both teams split a home, serve at home. I think even if Milwaukee wins this, you know, game tonight, I don't think it's foosball that Toronto can go back to Toronto and win two straight games. I think the combination of the role players playing better, Kawhi will play better at home, Siakam will play better in front of the crowd, Drake will be there. I think that combination for Toronto, you know, they can go back to Toronto and win two games.
Yeah, that's the thing with Toronto. I think it kind of feels like they're relying too much on Kawhi, and of course Kyle Lowry. You know, is stepping it up a little bit. I mean, he had 30 points, and of course, yeah, Danny Green is to step it up. You know, I think that only having three players having double digits, I think that's just. It's just not enough for Toronto. But we'll see what happens game two. Obviously, you know, Milwaukee beat Boston in five. But Toronto should be a little bit tougher than Boston, obviously. But we'll see what happens. You know, if even this morning I was hearing, actually it was this morning or last night, I was hearing Giannis was like really surprised they've reached to the Eastern Conference Finals. He never dreamt about it. But he said because of LeBron not being in the East, it really opened up the field.
Yeah.
Anyways, NBA Lottery 2019 happened on Tuesday. And there were some surprises. Of course, it's a lottery. Let me read you the top 14. Boston Celtics gets number 14, Miami 13, 12 Charlotte, 11 Minnesota, 10 Atlanta, 9 Washington, 8 Atlanta, 10 Chicago, 6 goes to the Phoenix Suns, then the Cavs, then the 4th pick goes to the Lakers, then the New York Knicks get the 3rd, number 2 pick gets Memphis, and number 1, New Orleans. What do you think about this draft order?
I think this draft lottery is the biggest I've ever seen in my life. I mean, obviously, the Knicks fans are hoping they get the number one pick. New Orleans got it. You got the angle of, you know, Zion Williamson. A lot of people are talking about him potentially going back to college. I heard Colin Cowherd, I don't know if you're familiar with him, of Fox Sports 1.
Yeah.
He should go back to college, play for the U.S. national team. That's very interesting. Will Zion stay? And also, if the Knicks get their dream and they want Anthony Davis, would they reunite RJ and Zion back in New Orleans? You've got that angle. I also think another interesting storyline is Memphis. Are they going to draft a successor for Mike Conley, John Morant? I think he's more likely to go number two. You got the Knicks. They're going to take RJ. What do the Lakers do at four? You know, what are the Lakers going to do at four? Are they going to take a shooter, or are they going to trade? Going to trade the pick, knowing that, you know, they need immediate help, obviously with LeBron. And then after that, you can see 5 through 14, there's a lot of unknowns on this draft. Yeah. You know? I think that, you know, obviously New Orleans is in good shape at the number one. And then after three, you could see a lot of, you know, experimental players go earlier than they should.
Yeah, you know, going with Zion, so you've been hearing that Zion, you know, could go back to college.
Yeah.
So he may, I mean, obviously, you know, in football, when you declare, but so he could potentially, you know, say, wow, I don't know. I want to go to New Orleans, or, you know, I want to go somewhere else. Obviously, if he goes to New Orleans, will that be enough for Anthony Davis to stay?
I don't think Anthony Davis is staying because I think for the 7 years that Anthony Davis is there, the Pelicans, you know, couldn't maximize that window. And obviously, you know, the front office couldn't put a team around him. And they couldn't even sell out an Anthony Davis ever. Obviously, Zion comes with a little hype. But I don't think that it changes Anthony Davis's mind. I think, obviously, the Rich Paul connection with Clutch. I think Anthony Davis, at this point in his career, you know, he knows how good Zion's going to be. But at the end of the day, he's trying to go to more established culture, trying to win championships. And because we don't think that then Zion's not going to win a championship for a couple of years, if that, you know, I think that he's still going to be heading towards out of New Orleans.
Do you see a possibility of Anthony Davis still going to the Knicks?
Do I see a possibility? Yeah, I mean, I think the Knicks, you know, would have to trade the number three pick, of course, not. But I don't think that it's better than the Lakers offer if the players are healthy. I don't think that's better than, I don't think the third pick, Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson, would be better than a Brandon Ingram, Lonzo, a Kuzma, a Hart, any combination of that. I don't think it would be better if Brandon Ingram gets over the blood clot, Lonzo Ball returns, gets better. I don't think that's better than the Lakers offer. And I also don't think that the Celtics will be willing to trade for Anthony Davis given the uncertainty of Kyrie's future. I don't think that they're going to put Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in an offer and not knowing if Kyrie's going to stay or not.
Have you heard of any rumor of where Anthony Davis really wants to go to?
I think it's more so that he wants to win. Obviously, LeBron would love him on the Lakers. It's good for the clutch. It's good for the business. It's also good for LeBron. He needs another co-star to go along with him, or his days are going to end up like the Washington Wizards, Jordan's final days. I think Anthony Davis wants to go to a winner. He wants to go to a championship team, and he wants to go somewhere where he's wanted, where he's going to win.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about money. Yeah, hold on. I don't think it's about money for him. I think it's about where he's going to win and where it gives him the best opportunity to do that.
I think the possibility, which I've been hearing this rumor for a while, Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks. Kyrie goes to the Knicks. I think Anthony Davis says, I'm in, and that will be the trifecta.
I could see that.
And that would be one heck of a team, I think. I think it will.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I think
that'd be amazing.
Yeah, and you know, Kyrie will have to play that role he did with the Cavs. You know, be that, you know, that point guard, that role player, and of course Anthony Davis will be on the post, and they'll be automatically a playoff contender.
True, they'd be Eastern Conference Finals. I'd have them Eastern Conference Finals as long as they make the necessary pieces around them. They can go Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, very potentially.
Obviously, they'll have to work out that chemistry in the beginning of the season. But they can go Eastern Conference Finals. They can go deep. They can make a run.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to invest in a team, players, Eastern Conference is the way to go. It's just wide open. The West, it just seems so – it's just Golden State. This is Golden State's era still. No matter what happens, without Kevin Durant, they're still going to go deep. In a few mock drafts, of course, they had Zion going to New Orleans. They got Ja Morant from Murray State going to Memphis. And they got R.J. Barrett from Duke going to the Knicks. And then DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, power forward, going to the Lakers. Obviously, if you have you had your mock-up draft ready, or you're still looking at it?
I'm still looking at it, but I don't think the Lakers – to use that pick. I think the Lakers to use that as trade bait. And here's why. Because I think, you know, LeBron's here. He's in his 17th year. He's not getting any younger. I think the Lakers should get an established player with the number four pick, or they should just trade it. Because, you know, the Lakers have had a lot of drafts recently. And I think for us, it's that moment where we're at a crossroad in that franchise. If we're truly going to help LeBron, you know, his last 3 seasons of his career, I think they should draft an established player or use that to trade it and try to get Anthony Davis. Or even I'm cool with them getting Bradley Beal to help out the Lakers, because The Lakers need more immediate help. I'm not for, you know, drafting, because we've done a lot of drafting lately. I think the Lakers, you know, for them to extend LeBron's career and really help him, they need to get a more proven talent, more talent that's ready to win, to maximize what's left his career.
As a Laker fan, would you rather get Kawhi Leonard or Anthony Davis?
I'd rather get Anthony Davis, because personally, I don't think Kawhi's coming to the Lakers. Not anything short, but I don't think that Kawhi's coming to the Lakers. I think it's more likely to get Anthony Davis to trade, and I think that's the more likely way to go. And I would be worried given the amount of mileage, but I can see someone like Jimmy Butler coming to the Lakers. And I can see someone like Jimmy Butler, a big market guy. A team like Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis, and LeBron. I can see something like that for the Lakers. I don't think that they're going to get Kawhi. I don't believe they're getting Kevin Durant. And Kyrie is a wild card, and I think he's going to the Knicks. I think Kyrie and Kevin Durant is teaming up on the Knicks, and I think the Lakers should look at guys like Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, and those types of players.
Yeah, Bradley.
Go ahead.
I mean, Bradley Beal was a very good observation. I think, yeah, he could potentially go to the Lakers. You're right. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously the Lakers going to have a big summer. No Magic Johnson on the GM post. And obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes. Frank Vogel is the head coach, and of course Jason Kidd is the assistant, which is I don't understand. But we'll see a lot of developments this summer. I think this summer might be another big summer for NBA free agency and drafts.
Can I just talk about the Lakers situation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Obviously with Frank Vogel, my concern is, with Frank Vogel being there, is he really going to have, you know, some level of control? I like Jason Kidd as an assistant. He could help Lonzo Ball. Obviously, the relationship with Lonzo Ball is going to be important. They both, you know, play similar. I think that I'm a little concerned that Jason Kidd might be trying to overtake Frank Vogel's job, because obviously around January we had a situation in LeBron's first team where David Blatt and got replaced by Tyronn Lue in January. So I could see a situation like that happening in the Lakers. I don't think that Frank Vogel is going to be there the whole 3 years, because I can see a lot of tension with Jason Kidd and Frank Vogel. I think that Jason Kidd is a good assistant coach, but I'm not really sure his mindset going into the job. Is he trying to get back in the league, or is he trying to get back in the league to get another job, use that to set up another job in the NBA, or is he trying to overtake Frank Vogel? I'm not really sure about that.
I've heard that situation where I think they got Jason Kidd as an insurance policy. If Vogel doesn't do well at some point, they'll turn to Kidd. But that obviously.
I'm not really sure about Jason Kidd, because watching him in Milwaukee, I never felt like his offense was innovative. I think Frank Vogel, one area he is going to help the Lakers is that he usually coaches defense, tough-minded players. Obviously, he ran into LeBron a lot with the Indiana Pacers. I think LeBron has some respect for him. I think that he, you know, typically the Lakers' defense in the last 6 years hasn't been that great. But I'm hoping that he's able to instill in training camp that defensive mentality for Lakers from day one, so that they can, you know, use his concepts to get better on defense, including a lot of young guys get better on defense. And I'm hoping that he brings the best out of Brandon Ingram, because he had a similar type of player in Paul George, and he was able to bring out the best to him. So I'm hoping he can do the same with the Lakers.
We'll see what happens with the Lakers. Hopefully bring back the years of Kobe Bryant. Anything else before we move on to game predictions?
No.
Who do you got tonight? Game 2, Toronto at Milwaukee.
I think Milwaukee's going to win tonight. I think Milwaukee's home crowd. I think that Chris Middleton's going to play better. Milwaukee's going to shoot better from the field. And I think the X factor tonight is going to be Chris Middleton. I think Chris Middleton struggled in Game 1, and I think he's going to be better in Game 2. I don't think Brook Lopez is going to give you 29, but I think he'll give you 20. I don't think he'll give you 29, but I think he'll give you 15, which is good enough. And I think Giannis has, you know, a Giannis-type game. I could see him going for 32 points tonight, double-digit rebounds, Chris Middleton being that second score. I see Brogdon being that third score. Our Brook Lopez falling back to the norm, giving him 15, which would be good enough. I think Milwaukee shoot better from three. I think they'll shoot over 35% from three, and Milwaukee will prevail.
So, and give us a score.
I can see like a 103-95.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Let's do it. 2-0. I do have Milwaukee winning tonight. I really think they're going to take home court. Now, if Toronto wins tonight, it's a series. You heard me that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
And random question. Do you put pineapple on your pizza?
No. I'm a plain pizza guy. Yeah, plain.
Me too. Coming from New York, me too. I'm a cheese guy. Maybe sausage on a good day. But, yeah, pineapple. People like pineapple on their pizza with ham. If that's all I need to eat, I'll eat.
The only way I would do it is Domino's, because Domino's really like bacon or pepperoni, but not really a thing. But I've tried ham. It's actually not that bad on your pizza.
Yeah, it's not that bad. You gotta mix and match, but people put it like French fries on pizza. I never had that, but I'm kind of curious how that tastes.
Same.
Kalu, how can people reach you to talk to you a little bit about the NBA?
They can reach me at Caillou Borden 12 on Twitter and on Instagram at CaillouB123.
Caillou, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, I'm glad I brought you onto the sportscast, because you're so knowledgeable with the game. The other guys are just, you know, mainly college football or football, and we have obviously Victor, but man, you are very detail oriented, and I'm glad you have joined the sportscast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And of course, guys, visit us on Twitter at thesportscast1, or go to thesportscast.net. We'll be following the NBA, obviously, closely. The PGA, which I think Tiger's in trouble. He might not make the cut, but we'll see what happens. I'm a huge Tiger fan. Kalu's a big Tiger fan, and he made history a couple of weeks ago. So the world of sports continue. And, of course, the NHL tonight. We got San Jose at St. Louis, and then Well, that's tonight. So we'll see what happens. You don't watch hockey, don't you?
No.
Yeah, me either. Maybe on SportsCenter I might see some highlights, but I forget who wins. Anyways, Kalu, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, man.